This is the Sports Bosses on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Miami, here's Jim Rodriguez and Sean Stanley.
Rolling on almost there Thursday.
You're going to be rolling tonight and into the weekend.
The great American race is nearly upon us. The Super Bowl of NASCAR, the Daytona 500 going down this Sunday. And it's time to talk a little racing.
So happy to have
this is your world.
So happy to have this guy back on with us.
This is your world. So let's go to our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans guest line. Man who covers motorsports for SB Nation, and he's a frequent contributor here on our show. Always good to have Jordan Bianchi on the phone. Jordan, what's going on, man? Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, and always a pleasure. And speaking of rolling, I'm rolling into Daytona as we speak.
Nice. Are you going fast?
Unfortunately not, because I'm stuck behind a golf cart.
So every time you come on the show, I always ask you, because I yet to get anybody to give me an answer that makes any sense to me. Why the hell is the best race, the greatest race, the first race?
That's a great question, and the best answer I can give you is that's just the way they've always done it. When they started the Daytona 500 back in 1959, they didn't realize what it was going to become, and it was kind of just another race, and then it quickly morphed into NASCAR's biggest race, and by that time it kind of established itself as the first race on the calendar. And it's never changed. It's just kind of the way it's done, and I don't think you're ever going to see it. It's definitely unique. It's not like anything else in other sports, but it does kind of give NASCAR a lift. I mean, if you're just starting the season with just a regular race, I don't know if you'd have the same, you know, kind of boost and lift off that you want to start your season. So in some ways, I think it actually works well for them.
Now, Jordan, a lot's been said heading into these with the Daytona 500, the new car package that they're running in Daytona. I watched the Clash, and again, it was the Clash. They only had 17 cars out there. What are you hearing from some of the drivers, and how are they liking the new package?
They like the aero package. The speeds are higher. The one thing they definitely have their hands full with is that the car likes to jump out on them. It doesn't have the same stick to the ground as the previous car. So we saw a couple times in the exhibition Clash, Kyle Larson, Jimmy McMurray, for example, basically their cars just jumped out on them when they were at speed, and they got sideways. And in McMurray's case, it ended up starting a crash and ended up in the wall. So drivers have their hands full. It is going to be challenging, especially because of the hot conditions with tire wear and everything. This is going to be different than, I think, what we've seen in other Daytona 500s, where a lot of time it's just guys basically mashing the gas and going 200 miles an hour almost and running in these large packs. There's going to be a little bit more finesse, a little bit more of a challenge to keep that car underneath you for 500 miles. And I think a byproduct of that is you actually might see more crashes because guys are going to be so hard-pressed to keep their cars underneath in their control.
Talking to Jordan Bianchi. You can follow him on Twitter at Jordan_Bianchi. That's BIAANCHI. Covers motorsports and the Daytona 500 for SB Nation. You've written some pretty cool stuff that you can find on your Twitter. One of them is NASCAR sort of, you know, we said goodbye to Dale Earnhardt Jr. Last year. He's retired. He's off in the Olympics and the Super Bowl, actually working for a living now as opposed to driving a car. How is NASCAR dealing, you know, pushing the young guns and actually kind of massaging the veterans who are going away?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a delicate balance. There's no doubt. You've seen, you know, Danica Patrick, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, among the drivers who are no longer around anymore. And NASCAR's got this very sizable void because those are some of the most popular drivers really in the sport for the last decade plus. And now they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do. And what they've decided to do is to promote a lot of these young up-and-coming drivers. And it's understandable. These are guys who are in their young 20s. They're marketable. They're charismatic. They're very active on social media. They're very talented. And they're guys who are going to be the backbone of this sport for the next 20 years. The problem is you have guys like Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, who are very much still around, very competitive. And they kind of feel like, in some respects, that they're basically this lost generation of drivers who aren't getting the same marketing push as these young guys, and yet their credentials are far better than some of these young guys, and it's frustrating for them. Kyle Busch has been very vocal about it. He's called out NASCAR. He doesn't like the fact that he basically feels like he's overlooked and not appreciated, and there's a little bit of a schism between what NASCAR is doing and trying to promote itself going forward and what these veteran drivers feel like, and they just basically feel left out.
Now, Jordan, I forgot who it was. I want to say it was Ryan Blaney, but somebody came out on Twitter and said, well, if you the older guys would actually say yes to some things, they might ask you more.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely part of it. And it's in that piece you guys mentioned on SBNation.com, and that, you know, Ryan Blaney fired back, and Blaney's been kind of at the forefront of this youth movement. He's been in a lot of different appearances, media stuff, TV shows, movies, that kind of thing. And he came back and said, wait a second here. You know, these veteran drivers, particularly Kyle Busch, they get to a certain point in their life, they don't want to do this stuff. They're not as inclined to go out and promote the sport to the same level as maybe these young guys are. And Blaney said, wait a second, I'm doing this because I want to do it, and I'm asked to do it, and I'm saying yes. Whereas Kyle Busch is being asked to do it, and he's saying no. Kyle Busch fired back yesterday and said, well, wait a second, that's not the case. So there's a little bit of push and pull here, but the fact of the matter is that there is no denying that some of these young guys who haven't had these opportunities before are far more willing and open to new ideas and doing different things than some of these guys who've been around a long time. And it's kind of, for them, it's kind of old hat.
Now, Jordan, Alex Bowman, Denny Hamlin on the front row, speaking of the new generation, old generation right there.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Bowman puts the 88 on the front row in Daytona. He's already better than Dale Jr.?
Well, I don't know about that, but I will say this. I mean, that car is not that it ran well in qualifying is not a surprise. That team, Dale Earnhardt Jr. actually put it on the pole in two restrictor pit last year at Talladega and Daytona. So they have a very good package when it comes to restrictor plate races. It is going to be very interesting to see what Alex Bowman can do in the race, though, because his team is with Hendrick Motorsports. They do very well in qualifying. They have won the pole for the Daytona 500 four straight years and six out of the last 9 years. However, when it comes to race conditions, that is a vastly different thing, and they have struggled in the race. They haven't had the same success. So it's going to be interesting to see if there's any carryover and what they can do on Sunday. It's a good start for the week for Alex Bowman to win that pole, kind of helps put him in the spotlight a little bit and kind of lets him be his own story and kind of get out of the shadow of Dale Earnhardt Jr. But he's going to have to prove on Sunday that he can handle this and take what he did in qualifying and apply that to the race. And that is going to be interesting, and I don't know if that's going to be even up to that task yet.
Now, staying with the Hendrick Motorsports, there was a thing at the end of the season last year, a little dust-up between Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin. Is that squashed? Because Hamlin's my guy, and I need him to finish races.
It's squashed. Denny Hamlin said yesterday that they've talked, and that because they both basically cost each other a championship opportunity, they're square. They both put each other in the wall. They both had their you know, tit for tat. They're done. They've moved on. That said, it doesn't take much for these things to flare up again. So it's possible. I mean, these guys are two guys who run at the front and contend for races, and they both are aggressive when they need to be. It wouldn't be surprising if this flared up. I will say this, though. If you're a Denny Hamlin fan and you're trying to look for reasons to move past this, Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin worked really well together in the Clash last week. Elliott helped Hamlin get to the front, and then Hamlin helped move Elliott to the front later in the race. So they kind of seemed to squash it and move past. So that's an encouraging sign.
Now, Danica Patrick has said that her NASCAR and her racing days are coming to an end, although she did let it slip that she's got a new ride. I mean, at the end of the day, first of all, tell us about the new ride, and tell us about what is Danica Patrick's legacy in motorsports?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. Her ride for the Indianapolis 500, she's going to drive for Ed Carpenter Racing, which is a very competitive team on the ovals and IndyCar Series. She's going to have an opportunity there to do very well, and I think she's going to maximize that opportunity. She has done historically well in that race, and it's a good way to end her career. Now, her legacy, I think her legacy isn't quite written yet, and I think when you look at it, I think in the immediate you can say, yes, the success on the track wasn't there. She certainly didn't have the results like she probably should have. But I will say this, she has inspired a lot of young female drivers, or young females to be drivers. And I think a decade from now, a couple decades from now, there is going to be a generation of women race car drivers at the top level of NASCAR who can look at and who will point at Danica Patrick and say, it was because of her and because I saw her do this that gave me the confidence to do it myself. And I think that ultimately is going to be Danica's legacy.
I think it's fantastic. I agree 100% with you. Now, is NASCAR going to be ready for that?
I think they will be. I mean, they were ready for Danica, and I think they did a very good job of trying to maximize what she could do. And Danica, because she didn't have the results on the racetrack, at some point it became, you know what, a lot of hype and not a lot of substance. But I think down the road, I think NASCAR is very much going to be open to female race car drivers. They have shown that in other divisions. They have shown that they are a much more diverse sport than they have been in years past. Kyle Larson, he has Asian ancestry. His mother is Japanese-American. We have Darrell Wallace Jr., the first African-American full-time driver in NASCAR Cup Series since 1971, who is racing this year. So NASCAR is very much more of an open and more inclusive sport than it has been in a long time. And I give NASCAR a lot of credit for that because we know their history. It has not been the best, but they've gotten much better in recent years.
Now, Jordan, we got a couple minutes here left. Who out of the drivers that made the switches and left their ride and went to a new ride, who do you see doing the best? And I understand Daytona is probably the worst race to use this at to base this off of, but who do you think has the best chance at winning the Daytona 500?
Well, I would say Eric Jones, who takes over for Matt Kenseth at Joe Gibbs Racing, that team and organization has really been the best in the sport for the last 2-3 years. They've been very good in restrictor plate races. That is the team that Denny Hamlin drives for. Eric Jones is one of these young drivers we talked about. He's very aggressive. He is very talented. He's seen as a future superstar. If he gets the opportunity on Sunday or even down the road this year to win races, he is going to go after it and go after it very hard. I would not be surprised to see him have a lot of success this year. And in Daytona on Sunday, he is a guy to keep an eye on because he runs these races very well.
Talking to Jordan Bianchi, covers motorsports for SB Nation. One before we go, what's the health of NASCAR? Like, I remember last year, I kept teasing, like, you know, we saw a lot of fights in the pits and the garages, and it almost seemed like not orchestrated, but it wasn't like NASCAR wasn't against it because we've seen TV ratings slip a little bit. What is the health of the sport?
It's very much at a crossroads right now. I mean, obviously the television ratings are going down, and I will say this, every sport is dealing with television ratings are declining. NASCAR, however, more so than other sports. They have to figure out that out. The attendance at the racetrack is flat. It's not necessarily going up. It's just kind of leveled off. NASCAR needs to kind of right the ship a little bit, and they're really kind of putting all their chips in with these young drivers, this young generation who they believe is going to help carry NASCAR forward. That's a lot to expect out of a group of drivers. There's a lot more things that need to happen. There probably needs to be some changes with the schedule overall. And you could argue that, you know, running a season from mid-February into mid-November, that's a long season. That's the longest season in sports. And probably NASCAR could adopt a philosophy where less is more, maybe fewer races, kind of whet the appetite a little bit and not just be oversaturate the market where there seems like there's racing, you know, 48 weeks out of the year and just kind of, people kind of give them a little chance to breathe and miss the sport a little bit. So when it does come back for the Daytona 500, there's a lot more excitement level to it.
That's Jordan Bianchi, covers motorsports for SB Nation. Follow his stuff on Twitter at Jordan_Bianchi. Thanks, man, and enjoy that race.
Always a pleasure, and appreciate it, boys.
All right,
man. Yeah, man. I mean,
can't wait.
Yeah. Jordan, of course, brought to you by the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. I've always said this, like, I've had such good times when I've gone to NASCAR races. I went to the Homestead one day.
Yeah, you did.
I went with you. Yeah. And, again, all the pre-race.
Although you made me work.
Well, all I was with the family. All the pre-race stuff was a blast. We were on the track. We're drinking. We're partying. You know, hanging out. And once the race started.
I wasn't drinking.
Well, I wasn't working. But again, we had such a good time before the race, and then once the race started, it just kind of.
Well, that's one of the things, though, especially with like Homestead.
And I don't know how you fix that.
Well, again, it's not those restrictor plate tracks that you know, like Daytona, Talladega. Those you get speeds. There were speeds up to over 201 miles an hour during the clash at certain points of the clash. That's excitement. That's adrenaline. Mm-hmm. You get to Homestead, you're at 160, 170. You get straightened out. And it's just cars going round and round.
Well, definitely call me for all the pre-race stuff. I'm definitely into that.
Follow Jordan Bianchi. That's what you need to do.
Absolutely. I do. Let's take a break when we come back.
The duels tonight.
Tell you what's trending. Sports Bosses, SB Nation Radio.